Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb, Text Number 23. Deyastu Sarva Sangato Jagatashtor Iti Dvida Adraiva Mrigya Purusho Neti Net Yatat Itajan Deha, the body, to but Sarvagan Sangata, the combination of all the 24 elements. Jagat seemed to be moving. Tashtu, and standing in one place. Iti, thus. Dvija, two kinds. Atra eva, in this matter. Rigya, to be searched for. Purusha, the living entity, the soul. Na, not. Iti, thus. Na, not. Iti, thus. Iti, in this way. Atat, what is not spirit? Tyajan, giving up. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. There are two kinds of bodies for every individual soul. A gross body made of five gross elements, and a subtle body made of three subtle elements. Within these bodies, however, is the spirit soul. One must find the soul by analysis, saying, this is not it, this is not it. Thus one must separate spirit from matter. Purport. As previously stated, swarnam yata gra vasu hema kara kshetreshu, yogastat abhigya apunat. An expert in the study of soil can find out where gold is and then dig there. He can then analyze the stone and test the gold with nitric acid. Simply, one must analyze the whole body to find within the body the spirit soul. In studying one's own body, one must ask himself whether his head is his soul, his fingers are his soul, his hand is his soul, and so on. In this way, one must gradually reject all the material elements and the combinations of material elements in the body. Then, if one is expert and follows the Acharya, he can understand that he is the spirit soul living within the body. The greatest Acharya, Krishna, begins his teaching in Bhagavad Gita by saying, Deno smindita dehe komaram yovanam jara Tita dahantara praptir diryas tatra namuyati. As the invited soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes in another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. The Bhagavad Gita 2.13. The spirit soul possesses the body and is within the body. This is the real analysis. The soul never mixes with the bodily elements. Although the soul is within the body, it is separate and always pure. One must analyze and understand his self. This is self-realization. Neti, neti is the analytical process of rejecting matter. By expertly conducting such an analysis, one can understand where the soul is. One who is not expert, however, cannot distinguish gold from earth, of the soul from the body. Dehastu sarva sangato jagatastor iti dvida atraiva mrigya purusho neti netat netit yatat tyajan. There are two kinds of bodies for every individual soul, a gross body made of the five gross elements, and a subtle body made of three subtle elements. Within these bodies, however, is the spirit soul. One must find the soul by analysis, saying, this is not it, this is not it. Thus one must separate spirit from matter. This is a process that Prabhupada demonstrated when he was at a school, elementary school, with just children 5 years old to 10 years old. He asked, who is this most intelligent boy in the school? And they pointed to one boy, and Prabhupada said, please come forward. And then the boy was standing there, and Prabhupada said, can you point to your head? I guess in Kali Yuga, people need intelligence to figure out where their head is. So he was bright enough, he pointed to his head, and Prabhupada said, your arm, your other arm, etc. And then he said, can you point to yourself? And the boy was all bewildered. He didn't know where his self was. So similarly, everyone is walking around like that. They don't know really where they are. They never really think that they're who they might be, considering that we have consciousness, while obviously the body doesn't have consciousness. No one speaks to their hand unless they're crazy. My dear hand, what do you think? Be or not to be? Really? Okay. Okay, it's all right. Change my mind. No one really considers their body to be alive. They consider that themselves they're alive, and they have some conception that I'm alive because my body's alive, and that when my body ceases to be so-called alive, then I won't be alive anymore. Although, as we know, we've had so many bodies who don't exist anymore, whether they're alive or not, because they were never alive. So we can't say the body died because it was never alive in the first place. It just disappeared. As right now, as we're sitting here, our bodies are disappearing. And new bodies are being created. Because after all, the body is just the sum total of all the cells, and the cells are constantly changing. Some are being created, some of them are disappearing. Now, that's not the end of Bhagavad Gita, that we're not this body. So Krishna says about the soul immediately, after deno smita dehe. He doesn't say, well, you're not the body, go home and think about it, Arjuna. No, immediately he says, matra sparsha sukondeya, Shitoshna sukaduka da angama paino nityas tam titikshas vabharata. He gives an application of the theory, tolerance. Now Krishna will tell us further what to tolerate. Mostly we have to tolerate our minds, which is the most difficult thing to tolerate. Other people we can learn to tolerate, but if my mind gets on my case, I have to give in. So what does it mean to tolerate the mind? It means to tolerate the three modes of material nature, to not become overwhelmed or influenced by them, especially ignorance and passion. And how to do that? This is what Bhagavad Gita is all about, mostly by changing the modes to devotional service. In other words, if we perform devotional service without the modes, then we won't be influenced by the modes because they won't be there. And the modes means, in the mind, attachment and aversion. If we just listen, then the modes aren't influencing us. Because the mind will say, wow, you're such a nice soul. You're listening. I didn't realize how great a soul you were. Well, then, yeah, that's right. At least someone appreciates I'm listening. Someone's paying attention to the fact that I'm paying attention. So one has to ignore the mind. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada said to take a broom and, a shoe in the morning. I think you take a shoe and you beat your mind with a shoe. Not literally. You know, we don't want to wake up 1,000 times. Sorry, I'm missing Mangala Arati. I woke up a little late. I'm 990. All right. I think I have to go back to sleep. My head hurts. I'm not used to hitting my head with a shoe. And in the evening, hit it with the broom. Wow, it's getting really sore, but following the acharya's direction. No, it means we have to ignore it. And instead, that's why we have this literature like Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, because we have something positive to put the mind on. Now, as I usually say, if we just start the morning thinking everything here belongs to Krishna, or we start right now thinking everything belongs to Krishna, then it's a great relief. We don't have to worry about anything. If everything belongs to Krishna, then I can't gain anything here, and I can't lose anything, because I never had anything to begin with, and I'll never get anything. If we have that conception, then we can start paying attention. Otherwise, we have so many things to worry about, whether it's our body or in things in relation to the body, what's going to happen to Slovenia, what's going to happen to my family, what's going to happen to my body, what's going to happen to my possessions, they're all going to disappear. They're all disappearing right now as we sit here. One day, if you come back to this planet, there won't be any Slovenia. They'll say, where's Slovenia? Where's Ljubljana? What? What are you talking about? Well, and then you say something in Slovene. Can't you speak Slovene? He said, no one in this universe speaks Slovene anymore. There's no such language. It doesn't exist. You're the only one in the universe. I guess you'll have to speak to yourself. And even English will disappear one day, believe it or not. Matter of fact, the whole universe is going to disappear. If you want to take rest, then stay around. You'll get a chance to take rest for 311,040,000,000,000 years. And then when you wake up, oh, I'm still tired. I just need a few million years more of rest and I'll be all right. So one has to become aware that everything is temporary, but it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to Krishna. And he's the one who's producing the whole thing. Nothing happens. Not a blade of grass is moving without Krishna's sanction. Therefore, sarva karmani manasa sanyas yasi sukham vasi naiva dware pare dehi naiva korvanna karya. That the invited soul who mentally renounces all activities, sarva karmani manasa sanyas yasti sukham vasi, lives happily within the city of nine gates, neither working nor causing work to be done. In other words, if we just relax, ma suchaha, and give up our worrying, then we can think, well, I'm not worrying anymore. What's wrong? There's so much to worry about. Why am I not worrying? What should I do? And then we hear, well, maybe I should just think about Krishna for a while. So we think about Krishna without worrying, without concern what's going to happen in the future, or what's happened in the past, and just relax and listen about Krishna. Then the result is that we'll actually become peaceful and happy, that we had nothing to worry about, because we're eternal. Long after this universe disappears, and so many universes will come and go, we'll still be around. Amaditvam, Adamditvam, Anaditvam, Gunat, Anaditvam, Anaditvam. Anadit means have the nature, van means to have the nature of eternity, of anadi, no beginning and no end. Anaditvam, Nirgunatvam, having no qualities, material qualities. Our whole perception of ourselves and others is good or bad, have nothing to do with us. It's just what we're attached to. We're creating by our desires this material modes of nature that we're being influenced by. We hear from higher authorities how to be in the mode of goodness, and we try to just be in the mode of goodness, and Krishna will help us, and we'll no longer be influenced by the mode of goodness, by the mode of ignorance. Instead, we'll be influenced by, hopefully, goodness. And in goodness, we can fix our mind upon Krishna and gradually not at all remember even what the modes of ignorance and passion were all about. That they'll disappear from even our memory. We won't be able to remember what this material existence was all about to begin with. So, anadivam nirgunadvat paramatmayam avyam. So the soul is neither those who can see with the eyes of eternity, that the soul is transcendental, eternal, and beyond the modes of material nature, despite contact with the material body, or Arjuna, the soul is neither doing anything, nor is he actually entangled. We're actually not doing anything. It's either the material modes of nature are going to work, or the spiritual nature will work. If we choose the spiritual nature, then we should not, or spiritual activities, we should not start thinking, I am the doer, I deserve the credit, etc. No, we're simply the desirer. If by good association we desire properly, then what will happen is that we'll be under the spiritual energy. And eventually, as we maintain that spiritual existence, then we'll become more and more enlightened and ecstatic. But as soon as we start taking credit, then we're in Maya. In the spiritual, when we're under the spiritual energy, to maintain it, we have to keep on following Krishna's instructions and not imagining ourselves to be the possessors, the doers, etc., etc., because that's a product of the illusory energy. But at least we have to get a little taste of that. It's not that all of a sudden we're going to give up the material concept of life completely and we're going to become a purely aware of our spiritual identity and nature and everyone else's. But we have to practice. That's what this is all about, is practicing. A little bit. If we just practice a little bit, then the result is that we'll be able to wake up. Wake up a little bit and understand how there's no reason to be afraid, how there's no reason to be in anxiety. Although we may try very hard to be in anxiety and be afraid, but there's no reason for it. It's just a waste of time. But we're used to wasting our time, so we have to spend a little time, gainful time, so that we can realize that actually most of the time I'm wasting. But if I can just do something that's actually on the spiritual platform, experience a little transcendental happiness, a little bit of enlightenment, then at least I'll know the direction I should be heading in, rather than the modes that are pulling me generally towards the lowest common denominator, especially in Kali Yuga. The modes are not encouraging us to become clean and truthful and merciful and austere. They're telling us, you know, give it a try. Become like an animal. Maybe you'll like it. Who knows? It's been a long time since you've been an animal. Try it out again. A lot of happy animals. Maybe you can become a dog in a house, wealthy person's house. And he'll give you good dog food. You won't have to worry about anything. Just imagine if you were a dog. You could sleep all day. All you just have to do is bite a little, bark a little bit, and you're all right. You're doing your work. And there's so many beautiful she-dogs, and they'll all love you because you're a devotee dog. So Maya will always try to trick us, trying to bring us down to the lowest. And the whole society is encouraging us. Truthfulness? No, everyone. The leaders are liars. They're cheaters. And everyone is engaged in all kinds of sinful activity. Why should you be different? Why do you have to be different? Why are you so proud? Why don't you be humble and become sinful and degraded like everyone else? Then your pride will go away. Become like a dog and you'll be very humble. Woof, woof, woof. And you have a nice relationship with the other ones. Bow wow, bow wow. Why should you be so puffed up that you're eternal? You're eternal. So everyone's eternal, so why should you be so puffed up? So the point is, if we study Bhagavad Gita and we actually try to understand it, as it says in Bhagavad Gita, nanyang gunebhyas kartaram drashta eva nupashyati gunebhyas cha paramveti madbhavam sodigashyati. When you can just see that there's nothing beyond the three modes of material nature and that the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all these modes, then you can know my spiritual nature. So just by understanding correctly, one can transcend the three modes of material nature. If we just accept that all my lamentation, all my hankering is just illusion, but I'm beyond illusion, I'm a spiritual being, why should I worry about all these things? They may come, they may go, but it has nothing to do with me. I should find out who I am, I should act according to who I am, to the best of my capacity, and then Krishna will help me gradually, no matter where I am presently. And, as Arjuna asked Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, what are the symptoms of a person who is self-realized? How does he sit, how does he walk, etc.? So Krishna gives a very simple answers, and he explains it many times. Prajahati yada kaman sarvapartha manogatan atmani vatmana tushtas tita pragyasta tochate. One who gives up all material desires which rise out of mental concoction and finds satisfaction in the self alone, he's situated in perfect knowledge. So it's not that we stop eating or sleeping or sometimes even mating under proper circumstances or defending, but we do what's necessary. But at the same time, we try to fix our consciousness upon Krishna, and whatever we do in devotional service. And then we'll become gradually fixed in Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop there, thank you. Any questions? Comments? Become so peaceful when I ask for comments. Well, since there's a big line, I don't know. You'll have to wait your turn.
Maharaj, can you explain this jnana and vijnana, how this goes? We can get, I can have a lot more jnana than knowledge than realized knowledge. So how does this go?
Well, vijnana means, or jnana means, I heard it, it made sense to me. There's some enlightenment. And vijnana means, now if you want to actually fully experience what you just realized partially, then you have to follow the process, and then you'll fully experience it. You won't just get a glimpse, you'll get the whole picture. So there's not that much difference between jnana and vijnana. Vijnana is like, you know, when there's a movie. Or jnana is like the movie, they have a advertisement for a movie is only like a minute, and you watch it, and then encourages you to watch the whole movie. So jnana is like a little glimpse, and vijnana is like the real, the full experience.
Jnana also helps you, or when you get through this, this 1 minute helps you to watch the whole movie?
It helps you if you figure out what you're going to do in order to realize what you just experienced, get more of it. Otherwise, we just forget about it. You know, we hear, wow, that makes a lot of sense, but I'm not interested. I'm not interested enough to actually realize it. Or we think, wow, this is fantastic, and then but that's also fantastic. Over there, that's wow. Well, that is jnana. Unless it helps you clarify the goal, then what kind of knowledge is it? The goal is to become eternally happy. And in order to do that, we need knowledge of how to become eternally happy. So jnana is the knowledge of how to become eternally happy. I don't think people are cultivating, usually sane people don't cultivate knowledge how to become eternally miserable. Yeah, I got enlightened. I figured out how to actually enter into the mode of ignorance completely. Unalloyed ignorance, if there's such a thing. Not people are cultivating that knowledge, but we don't consider that knowledge. We consider that ignorance. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Krantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.